The advice provided by our parenting experts are not intended or implied as a substitute for professional medical advice, nor for medical diagnosis or treatment. Your reliance on the information provided by the experts is at your own risk. Depending on individual and personal facts and circumstances, your medical doctor's recommendation on treatment and management may vary. Please continue to consult your own healthcare professional.
Hi, and welcome everybody to episode 3 of the Parenting Podcast, Real Parents Facing Modern Problems Together. My name is JC Alelis.
And my name is Jelly Victor. Hi! Of course, this podcast is brought to us by Wyeth Nutrition Parent Team and is powered by Podcast Network Asia.
Last episode, the dads had the spotlight. We talked all about what it's like being a father, dispelling some myths. We're going to do the same thing, but for moms this time around.
Of course, you know, we need to balance things out always. Now, for sure, and I can't think of a better person to talk about this multifaceted role of being a mom than our guest for today's episode, Monica Francesca Tobias.
You know what? You guys are obviously very close. You've worked together. You're currently working together. But just reading her bio and chatting with her for just 5 minutes, she is the very definition of a modern mom for me.
You know, she really is. She does it all. And the unique thing about this lady is that not only does she do it all, she does them all well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she would never say that. She would never think that. You know, JC, she is absolutely amazing. And I hope that you, our listeners, will learn a lot from our conversation with her. Because you know what? We definitely did. JC and myself, as always, we're taking down notes.
Yeah, definitely. And we're not going to keep you guys waiting. We want you to get into the meat of our talk with Monica. This is episode 3, Unpacking the Myth of the Perfect Mother with Monica Francesca Tobias.
Marriage.
Time plays a very important role. So I'm here today to challenge anyone who's married with kids or going to go down that path one day to really think about your time.
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy is a really great experience. And there can be this amazing feeling of pride.
Parenthood. It's about balancing the now with the future while teaching the right habits and hoping that your kids grow up to be great.
This is the Parenting Podcast, powered by Podcast Network Asia, brought to you by Wyeth Nutrition.
JC, an exciting episode up ahead. You know what is going to be extra fun about this particular episode we're recording?
I want to know. I'm super excited about this one. Go ahead.
Our guest is somebody who is well known for her interviewing skills. She's been at it for decades, but today the tables are turned because we are actually interviewing her. And most of her interviews lately have been about her entrepreneurial skills, but today we are talking to her about being a mama.
And we are not holding back. We are not holding back today.
You know, JC, with this woman, you kind of don't need to. She's an open book. So our guest is a former radio DJ for one of the country's top FM radio stations with multiple KBP Golden Dove Awards under her belt. She is a co-founder and owner of Sweet Ecstasy, a burger joint that placed third on the Big 7 Travel's top 50 burgers. Is it in the Philippines? Nuh-uh. In all of Asia.
Which, for me, if you're asking me, that basically makes her a superhero. But aside from that, she also hosts a third of the Eavesdrop podcast. It's
one fourth now, right.
It's one of the most highly rated shows in the Philippine podcast charts. And most of all, I think pertinent to what we're going to be talking about today, she is a mom of two. And she's going to be talking about her experience with being a modern mom.
So we'll get right into it. We are going to talk about a modern mom's experience and unpacking the myth of the perfect mom. Please welcome to the Parenting Podcast, Monica Francesca Tobias.
Hi. Yay. Hello.
Hi,
JC. Hi, Jelly. Okay. Thanks for having me on the show.
I am
on the
nervous
podcast.
About interviewing you.
No! Ano ka ba? Yan ka naman. Don't be nervous. Let's do it.
Kasi multi-awarded eh. Oh my
Who wrote all that? Right. Galing naman. Galing. Ang ganda ng write-up ko. Thank you. Who wrote it?
Well, she's better known to, you know, the people who listen to her as Fran. So we will address her as Fran. We'll get right okay. into it. Is there such a thing as a perfect mom?
Oh my God, no. There is no such thing as the perfect mom. Like, there's no such thing as a perfect person. You know, nobody's perfect. Everybody has their own skill sets. Everybody has their little bits that they're not that great at. You know, mm-hmm. and if you're lucky enough, you have a partner that would be able to like counter that or give that. But if not, that's totally okay, because I've been a single mom too, so I've had to rely on me, myself, and I for a long time, and there were so many mistakes made. A quick answer is no.
Okay, since you already spoke about it, you've been playing two different kinds of roles as a mother. You started off as a single mom, and now you have a partner. Can you tell all our listeners all about it?
Well, yeah. I was a young mom. I had my first daughter when I was 19.
Okay.
And yeah, so, and obviously the relationship with her father did not work out. And I remember I was still going to school. So it was pretty difficult. So I was a single mom for quite a bit, but I do have to give props to my family. I was lucky enough that my mom, my dad, my sisters helped me take care of and raise my daughter. So it wasn't all me. I can't take all the credit, because I was really, I mean, if you listen to the Eavesdrop, the podcast, I mean, I was very selfish. I was 19, you know, I was a young mom, 19, 20, 21. I was still growing up. I was very, very immature, you know, and obviously the real world decisions weren't there as it is now. Like now, like obviously when I had my second child, when I had David, who's 7 now, I had him when I was like 30 plus already. And at that time, I was really fully aware of my body. I was fully aware of all the decisions that I had to make and the responsibilities that I had to undertake. It was very, very different.
Mm.
Very, very different. Yeah. And it was a lot of like introspection and really actually apologizing to my daughter for all the missteps that I had. Cause like we basically, like, I remember JC and I were talking about it yesterday. Like we grew up together.
Yeah. Okay.
My daughter and I, you know, she's my buddy and we're very close, but at the same time, you know, even though we're close that way, I was supposed to still be the mom, you know, the responsible one. And some of the time I was the irresponsible one and she was the responsible one. So like evolving as my story unfolds, I really had to take some time and apologize. I had to talk to her, you know, mm-hmm. And everything, lay it all out and apologize and all that. So,
quick and dirty math. Yeah. Quick and dirty math. Your eldest must be what? 21, 22?
22 now.
22 yeah. now. And you have a 7-year-old. So you have like the whole motherhood spectrum right there in your day-to-day.
Yeah. 15 years.
15-year gap. And there are a ton of questions right there. So maybe let's just unpack them bit by bit. So you grew up in an environment where you had your mom as your support system and your sisters also.
The whole family.
But you were certainly around a lot of strong women. Would you go yes. as far as to say that? Is there anything from your relationship with your mom that you kind of tried to bring in right away? Because obviously as a 19-year-old, what's your basis, right, for being what a mother should be other than how your mother is to you? So what did you take? And what did you change from what your mom was like to you?
That's a good question. Honestly, at 19, 20, 21, it was really like I let go of the wheel, what do you call it? The steering wheel. And let my mom do it.
Steer.
Yeah. And then let me think. I ended up.
I think we stumped Fran, Jelly.
I know.
No, that's very rare, JC.
I'm thinking about how it really evolved. And when I was young, I really didn't know what I was doing. And then I would always say, like a lot of, women out there, like, I don't want to be like my mom. When I have children of my own, I'm not going to be like my mom. And then all of a sudden, there's one day that, like, my mom comes out of my mouth, you know, like the words that she says. It's like, oh, no, my God.
I sound like
you
my
know,
mom.
I had already written down that particular question of the kind of things, the thoughts that you had about, I will never do this the minute I become a mother. And then the day that you do become a mother, that's exactly what you do. Out of curiosity, what were those things that you said you would never do, but you ended up just playing out again? You've become your mother. What aspects did you become your mother?
Oh, she would always, growing up, you know, my mom would always say, you know, look with your eyes.
Your eyes.
Not with your mouth.
Oh, we just said that today. We literally right? just told Hope that today. Yeah.
Yeah, little things like that. And then, like, maybe, like, indiscipline and just basic stuff. It was more like, you know, the lessons came like waves, you know, as I went. Like, so as my daughter grew up. And then she went to college, and then she was like, you know, going off on her own. I said to her, hey, and like, let's say she'd stay in her room and she wouldn't contribute to anything in the household. I'm like, hey, you know, this is not a dorm, you know, this is a house. So you have to take part in taking care of the house. And I remember my mom telling me that. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, oh, no. That's exactly what my mom said to me in my, you know, heydays when I would go out and like just sleep at home. And then when I wake up, I'd go out now, you know, and not caring about the house, not caring about fixing up or maintaining or doing anything like that. So like that, that's how I turned into my mother. And I realized that my mother had very good points, very good and valid points.
Let's take a trip back in time, back to when you were 19, early 20s. What kept you sane as a young mother?
Work. I was very fortunate that I was part of radio already. Yeah, work and school and friends. That kept me sane. That gave me a purpose. Also, you know, eventually gave me money of my own. Though when I started radio, there was no money. I worked for chump change. I was slave labor.
But there was purpose. There was purpose.
There was a purpose.
And there was fun.
And there was fun. Yeah.
There was plenty of fun. As a really young mom, how did you not lose your sense of identity? Because I think that's a common problem for a lot of mothers. The minute they become moms, they're all about being a mother. Who they were prior to being a mom, that is out the window.
Okay, well, okay, so that's different. So I can answer that like in two prongs. Like, so when I was young, I did not lose myself. I was very selfish. It wasn't there. There was maternal instinct, but it wasn't like how maternal instinct came out when my son was born, when I was already 30. So I still went out, you know, and that's why I tell everybody, I'm very thankful for my family system and support system that they were there for me. So those selfish years of me, you know, just being me and growing up and to be honest, you know, I was in radio, I was going out to events, I was a host. So I was always out, you know, so I did not, to answer your question, I did not lose myself then. But then when I had David, when I was already 30,
your second journey into motherhood. Journey, yeah.
Like I said, when I was really more aware of myself and more aware of the responsibility that having a child entails, that is when I stopped going out. Like I know like my friends would be like, oh, where are you? Let's go drinking. I'm like, dude, you know, I'm sleeping now. It's like 9. I'm sleepy. It's like that. So there was a very, very, there was a very big shift, but it had to, it went with age.
Okay.
And maturity level, you know? Yeah. So it was only then that I did not really super lose myself. I just didn't go out as much. I wasn't very social. And I was, really aware of David, but he wasn't, that's the thing. It sounds bad, but he wasn't my whole world.
You know what I mean? Because I had to, at the same time, take care of a business and make sure it grows or make sure it doesn't flounder and flop. So I was lucky enough that I was able to sort of balance it out. I was also very aware that at that time I had left radio. So I was able to focus more on David, yes, but also focus more on my work, which essentially was work from home because it was our so I didn't have to physically go out anywhere. So yeah, there.
You mentioned, of course, there was a shift from your first journey as a mom with your eldest, and then when in your 30s as a mom the second time around to a new child. But was there ever a turning point, or was there ever a moment, even the first time around, where you felt, hey, I get it now. Hey, you know, I get what this is all about. When was that, and how did it come about? What did you get?
Okay, so I think more on when my daughter's gonna kill me.
It's okay.
All right. When I stopped being all about me and all about myself, I saw how much my actions were hurting her. You know, I think she had written me a letter asking me why I was always going out. Like, when she wanted to hang out with me, why is it always my friends or events or work that came before her? Yeah, now that I think of it. And I think that was when I said, okay, well, I need to take stock in this. I mean, she was always there. She was always my number one.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it was like my number one na parang my barkada. And then there was a shift there when she was able to verbalize that with me, or at least through writing, through a letter, that I said, okay, maybe I need to change up my ways. This is too much already. Like, it's, I see that it's hurting her.
When that happened, though, when you had that discussion, when you had that revelation that maybe, you know, maybe she needs a little bit more of your attention, did you ever try to frame it, whether in discussion with her or just framing it for yourself, for your own opinion of yourself, for what you're doing? Did you ever frame it this way that, hey, you know, I have responsibilities that you know you might not be aware of. I have to provide for your family. My lifestyle is part of that. Did you ever have that discussion with her? And
how did you reason out with her?
How did you reconcile that?
Oh no, I didn't reason out with her. I said, I'm sorry. I said, you're right. You know, because she was. In anything, there is always a balance. Yes, you have to work hard, but do I have to work hard till 2 a.m. in the morning? No naman. Right? So it was really with me and with her. Though the change didn't happen, you know, right away, because obviously I was also still learning and adapting and trying to be better at this mom thing. Because at a time I was like, okay, yeah, I'm doing enough. You go to school, I pick you up from school, you know, I feed you, I sort of help you with your homework, but then it dawned on me there's a lot more than that, right? To being a mom. So that came in afterward. That came in like, I don't know, she might have been like double digits now, maybe 10. That her and I like really, I started buckling down and saying, well, yeah, I need to be a mom. I need to be a mom. Okay. Mom.
you mentioned there's a whole universe of responsibilities that you have as a mom. If you could quickly could you enumerate that for us? Is it even possible to enumerate every single thing that a mom should be
responsible
for? Or maybe
what are your main, for yourself, these are my main responsibilities. And are those responsibilities constantly changing from your first journey into motherhood and one now when you are a lot older and more mature? What are your main responsibilities?
As a mom?
Yes.
Everything. What's wrong with you guys? You know this. Moms take care of everything. No. Yeah. See, my son said, duh.
Duh. What are you not responsible for, Mom?
Yes, actually, you know what? Sometimes you feel like, as a mom, that you are really responsible for everything. And I think that's where moms get so stressed, you know? Single moms, you are responsible for everything because it's just you and your kids. Though you have to, if you have that support system, then you have them to help you delegate your responsibilities. So, because here's the thing, like I joke about it. Yeah, moms are responsible for everything. And yes, in a whole we are, because everybody in the, let's say in your family, is wired to go to the mom. You know, she's the nurturer. Yeah, she's the caretaker.
For every need.
For every need, mommy's there, you know, whether or not she's fully equipped to do it, she's going to try. But I think what moms need to realize, and everybody else, and partners in general, is that, especially if you are in a two-partner household, that they have to step up and help you. I'm very lucky that my partner helps me. So though sometimes I feel the weight of the world or this household is all on my shoulders, he tells me, he's like, hey, you don't have to wash the dishes. Just let me do it. You know, you don't have to take care of everything. Let me do it. There's a disclaimer. I'm not going to do it right away, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it happily.
Eventually.
Eventually.
I'm going to get to it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Though it kills me because I see the dishes in the sink. This mama, wala ka ng tinador kasi they're all dirty. I'm like, okay, don't do the dishes. Sure.
I don't even want to comment on that. I get you,
right? But the premise is there. It's more like, you know, moms really do feel that they have to take care of everything, and rightfully so. But sometimes you have to realize that there are things that you have to take care of, but then you can delegate. You should delegate the responsibilities to people in your household. If you have children who are old enough to do it, yes, go. If you have a willing partner, yes, have that conversation with them and let them ease your burden. But for me, I do take care a lot of, well, right now, because we're all under quarantine, our beloved Ate Ceces went home to the province. She's our kasambahay here. She is really like my assistant. She's my right hand girl. She went home to the province. So it's just the three of us here. So I do all the cooking. And then I make the boys help me with the cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Take note. She said boys.
Boys.
Yeah.
The boys
plural.
And then, of course, there's a business to run. And I'm not going to lie. It was very hard to adjust. Even now, I'm kind of like struggling. I'm really like backlogged with a lot of my work that I usually get done because I have somebody else to do the cooking and the cleaning. But now that I'm doing everything, it's really overwhelming, to be honest.
Understandably.
And it's like, okay, I need to try to like structure my day better. But then every time I try, it doesn't, you know. I also learned then I shouldn't stress myself out. If things are a little late, then okay. You know, if I have to order food like and not cook, okay. You know, if my son has to eat cereal for breakfast when he wants tapa and rice, well, cereal it is, because I got to do something. You got to take those, right? You got.
What I like also is, you know, you're a business person, you're a business owner. You know how to approach things in a way that's based on performance, based on results, based on metrics. You mentioned that you try to put some structure to your day. You try to delegate, and I think that, you know, of course, you're not going to be able to do it completely. I mean, perfectly well, because it is a myth that you can do it perfectly well. But are there some things, some hacks, some strategies that you tried to implement at home
that has worked,
that somehow worked?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I learned early on that you have to approach the day like, because we're all working from home, right? And even before, I have to approach the day like I'm going to get up and go to work. I'm going to get up, do exercise or whatever, get showered, get dressed, and like not in pambahay dressed.
You like, dress up, right?
I dress up. Yeah, you know. Right.
Do you have a room? Yeah, do you have your own space?
Yeah, I have my own space. I have a desk and the setup is here. And
semblance of an office.
There is a semblance of an office. And I learned that earlier because like from radio, I would always get up and get ready and go out and go to board work, right? And then when I stopped radio, that stopped. I'm like, oh God. So there was a big chunk of like maybe 3 months like waking up and not doing anything. I was like, what do I do? I don't know. So I quickly learned that I had to put that structure back. I had to make sure that I got up and made sure like I was like getting ready for work, even if it was work is at home. I tried to plan the day, like at least I know what I'm gonna cook for lunch or for dinner. Sometimes it works. What else? Let me see. Basically, that's the most important part, actually. That is the best. You have your own space to work in, and nobody can bother you while it's work time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully the kid, David, understands that and respects that too.
Yeah, totally. Okay. You have, and then you have to communicate with your child. Like, okay, look, mommy's got to do this. You know, you need to do something else. If they're not capable of thinking of what to do, then you have to give them things to do.
Okay. In a previous Parent Team podcast that we had where our guest was Big D, he was talking about himself
as
he's
a dad. Good at parenting. Amazing. Oh my God. Really? Why am I even here? Just talk to him.
Because you are the female equivalent of Big
right.
D.
All right.
So when we were talking to him, he shared a lot of insights about how he and his wife raised their 5 kids, 2 sets of twins and a singleton. Yeah. And he talked about how as a family, they've set goals. Like he and his wife made sure that their kids grow up to be kind, to be compassionate, respectful. You know, they had all of these criteria that needed to be met. Did you set goals for yourself as like, this is how I'm going to be as a mother. These are the things that I want my child to grow up with.
Wait, I have a question.
What's up?
Answer your question, but how do they set those goals for their kids?
They talked about it. He and his wife talked about it. So when they bring up the kids, they always made sure that like how they would discipline the child because this is the kind of trait they're trying to equip the child with.
Oh, wow.
Because they had set those goals. And when I heard that, I'm like, okay, that's something I need to do now. Set goals.
We need to do that now.
No such thing as a perfect mom. I don't have goals. You know what? I think I really believe in that saying you have to lead by example. So
he was emphasizing that too. Mm-hmm.
So whatever your children see in you, that's how they will become. And I try to show my son through my actions, compassion, you know, loving by talking to him. Also, Al, my partner, is very good at doing that too. We're affectionate as a family. When there's problems, we all communicate. We love to talk. This whole family loves to talk. So communication is key. Wow. Now I'm going to think if I have to set goals. I'm so pressured. I'm just kidding, Big D. But you know, and
they have a mid-year business planning session, and then they write goals.
But maybe I should do it. Yeah, exactly. There's just like how I run my business. No,
there's a feedback form, an evaluation.
No,
you're graded.
I will think of this mission vision for this family.
No, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Communication, because all of these, I mean, obviously, you know, the corporate thing, there's something to learn from that. But bottom line, it's communication, and I think you mentioned that.
Yes.
Is there a difference? I'm sure there's a difference with the way you communicate with your eldest and with your 7-year-old in terms of, you know, the freedoms that they have. Obviously, your eldest is gonna be still ate, but she, in a way, is a lot more free. Has a lot more freedoms than David. She's a grown up. How do you frame it that way for David? Do you talk to him about that?
Yeah, no, I talk, well, even with Jade, I've always talked to my children like they're adults. Like, I never baby talk them. I never tried to simplify things. If things were hard, you know, like death and stuff, the hard conversations that you have to have with kids, I made sure that I didn't sugarcoat it. You know, you say it in terms that they will understand, but I never sugarcoated anything. Mas lalo with Jade because, you know, obviously she saw me going through a lot. And then I know she's seen me crying and she's seen me fighting with my folks. You know, she's seen like real world stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's Jade. I don't see David Naman. Sometimes I worry, like, everything's so nice, you know, is he too sheltered?
I like that look you gave him just
I'm watching him in the sala, you know, and it comes with, you know, your parents being stable, you know, he has nothing to worry about. He doesn't seem.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that happens as he grows up. But
how that pans out.
but talking is the same. Like, I don't try to hide anything from them at all. If there's something that needs to be discussed, we will discuss it naman talaga as a family. And I think that's very important too. And lay it all out for them. So, and try to, you know, all these articles that come out, you know, about parenting, modern parenting, it helps, you know. So I read a lot of those, especially how to address. My son is very, very sensitive. He's very sensitive. And I'm like,
It's a good thing you talked about articles on modern parenting and bringing that up. The idea of what mothers are like now, especially as they are portrayed on in social media, has that put any pressure on you?
Sometimes.
And how you're supposed to mother now compared to how you mothered Jade?
Oh, well, no, now. I mean, with Jade, I've already, you know, those demons have been rested and taken care of. That's okay. It's more like I see parents on my IG stories, like their kid. Okay, classmate of David, she's reading Harry Potter already. And I'm like, oh my God, David, don't you want to read Harry Potter? And he's like, no, Mom, no. Maybe another time. I'm like, no, but I want you to read Harry Potter. So, no pressure ako. Yes. But then I check myself and I said, okay, well, you know what? He's good at other things. And he maybe, sana eventually, will get to go enjoy Harry Potter, the book, and not the movie. But that will be, you know, we'll have to see. We'll find out. So, yeah. Napa pressure din ako. But I check myself very quickly. I try to be fair. I try to be fair with myself.
But your black and white judgment, if you can, of social media, is it a blessing? Is it something that, you know, moms, especially new moms, should spend a lot of time on looking for advice? Because, you know, you had a great support structure when you became a new mom. Some moms might not have that benefit, right, especially single moms. Is social media something that they ought to spend a lot of time on to get some advice? You know, there are all of these groups that I've seen and I'm aware of, or, you know, yeah, the mama groups. Is it something good, net benefit, or no?
Okay, yeah, no, I think it has its pros, right? Okay, social media and then researching on the internet are two different things, because articles will help you, right?
Well, those research.
That's a great resource that I didn't have before. I think social media just rears its ugly head when you start comparing yourself to other moms. Though social media now, it has made this mommy business such a booming, business, right? Cause like before, I just had to go buy a pump. Right, I didn't have any slings. I didn't have any like attachments to stuff. I didn't have like all these crazy things that they tell you, "Yay, you're a new mom. You need this." Not really. You don't need all of that, right? But then again, I'm just jealous because I didn't have that one. David. But social media, in its essence, is always bad because it makes you compare, and people don't put the ugly on social media most of the time. you know, you'd be lucky if you find somebody. Yeah, it's all curated. You'd be lucky if you found somebody who is real and raw. And even then, is it really real and raw, or did you fix it to look like it's like, you know, a mess? So I would suggest not to go on social media too much. You know, I know it's something to do when you're breastfeeding. You're watching. You're doing it.
May K-drama naman eh.
Oh, may K-drama naman.
Or when you're taking a break, you want some me time. Oh. Most of us would end up on social media.
Pwede rin. Pero again, like I say, just check yourself, you know, and be fair to yourself. You're not going to be like that.
And great advice.
You know, if you're not, it's okay. If you are, then great. I won't judge you either. If you are that wonderful mom who can, you know, get their kids reading and staying in line all the time, it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Good for you.
Because I
you do you, I do me.
Right? I can't talk that way because I'm lucky I only have one and he's already 7. Yeah. I do not have a household like Big D, you know, or like our co-host Dell, who have she has three kids. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
and no help either.
And no help either. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, how do moms do it? I don't know.
Okay. Jade is now 21. 21, right? 22? 22. How have you come to accept that this is a time of letting go and allowing her to experience life for herself?
Oh, I think I've always wanted her to do that.
How do you become that?
I think you just have to look at your child as an individual. You know, they don't belong to you. They're going to grow up and be their own person. And the best that you can do is raise them to be able to take on the challenges on their own. And raise them also to know that if the challenges get too hard, they can always go back to you and ask you for help and advice, and you're going to be right there for them. With Jade talaga, she was very adamant that after college, after she graduated from Ateneo, that she was going to go to LA to live with her dad and to work and to find herself there. And though it pained me a little bit, I was, you know, I was crying when she left, but deep down I really knew that's what I wanted for her. That is what you want for your child. You don't want to coddle them forever. You know, that is why you're raising them to be good people, so they can stand out there on their own and make a mark for themselves in this world, you know, and that's what I want for my kids. So
I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but for sure, I mean, yeah, we're all imperfect people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have your own, or maybe you do have your own regrets about how you lived your life. Mm-hmm. What? It's same as with anyone, but what happens if you see Jade and eventually David when he gets to that point? What happens when you see Jade, you know, doing familiar things, doing things? I've been there, I've done that. It's a common refrain.
That's
not gonna turn out well.
Yeah.
Does that come up?
It's already happened, just good Lord. Oh God. Yeah.
Okay.
She's living in LA, you know, she's 20. Remember when you guys were 20? Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Mm. And I'm like, oh. And that's what gives me pause, because I remember I was 19. I was pregnant already. So obviously, when I was 20, I was doing crazy stuff. So I think I was
paano
able
ka to. Nagpipigil, in short. Huh? Paano ka nagpipigil? How do you. You know, like we want our kids to flourish. We want to let go. We want them to be their own people. But how do you rein it in?
Yeah. How do you stop yourself from sparing them of the pain and the trouble of having to experience
like heartbreak, things like that? Oh, right?
You know, I thought of that too. And here's the truth. You can't stop them from feeling pain or heartache. You know, it's part of life. You can't keep them sheltered. So I cultivated a relationship with my daughter, and I hope, sana, it's true on her end that she can tell me anything. You know, when I see her, I message her on Instagram when I see her stories. I go, "Hoy, what are you doing? You know, are you drunk? Don't drink too much, you know." Oh, and I'm just lucky. With David Den, oh gosh, maslala with David. I mean, Jade, I already know she's gone through some stuff. I mean, I think she's had her heart broken already. Yeah, and she's gone through it, you know. And even with her own personal relationship with her dad, you know, those are things that I can't shield her from. And I can only just be there for her. With David Den, I'm also very worried and anxious because he is sensitive and I don't know how he's going to handle his first heartbreak. As a mom, I am very scared about that. But then again, you just fall back on, you raise them right. And then you raise them that they're going to ask you for help, sana, you know, when things get too much. And I think that's very important, actually, especially in this day and age with kids who feel alone. Or you know, there's the suicide rate is like really high and disturbingly high, and kids hurting themselves, you know, and it's because they don't have anybody to talk to. So if you're a parent, I really, really advise that you, and it's so uncomfortable to talk to your children, right? Sometimes,
yeah.
And you guys will see your girls are young, but as they grow up, you know, you have to be very open with them and talk to them about the really, even with you,
dark
like, I
stuff.
Mean, sometimes like I don't feel comfortable opening up to people, but you have to,
true.
You have to open up to your children. Also, you have to show them that, you know, you're not superwoman, you're not superman. And you have to help me. So in that way, if you can talk to them about that, they'll feel safe to talk to you about it, you know, and there you just, cultivate the safe space within your family that they can go to you. That's it. Just thinking about it. Oh God.
We just made her anxious, JC, with all the questions.
But no, that's anxiety that happens all the time. I mean, that comes and goes. I think about it sometimes and then I just let the thought go because you really can't control it anyway, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what is your tip? You said it right there. It comes with the territory. It comes and goes. You just let it go. What is your tip for moms who are always anxious, worried for their kids, especially with these times that we are living in now? How do you let those things go?
That's hard. Because I have those thoughts all the time. And moms know that, and dads, you know, I don't know about dads, but moms a lot, they have irrational fears. They have fears. They think like, oh my God, something's going to happen. Like they're just walking down the street. Oh my God, a car is going to come barreling down. You know,
like final destination thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
We've been in lockdown for 2 months and my wife has thought that we have COVID at least 10 times.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. At least 10.
If my son starts coughing, oh God, my anxiety is like through the freaking roof. Like, oh God, take your vitamin C, gargle, do something. Let me give you fruits. I know my son. He concurs. He concurs.
Okay, right there. JC, you referred to your wife having those fears. And Monica and I have been curious. Do husbands, fathers think that way or worry in the same way?
Speaking for myself, we do, but I very rarely act on it. I wait for, you know what? It occurs to me that, hey, you know, is it COVID? And then, you know, I think about, I try to think rationally about it. And then I don't allow it in my headspace anymore. I kind of just leave it on the wayside, which isn't to say that we don't get anxious. It's just that we deal with it differently. I probably deal with it by, you know, I consider it. And if it's something that I can't quite, you know, define specifically, if I can't put my finger on it, I'm going to leave it behind for a little bit and focus on something else. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So dads are like that. Even Jews.
Men are good at that.
Yeah.
It's a wiring thing.
Definitely. Yeah. Moms are just wired differently. Mm-hmm. Moms are just wired to take care of and worry about everything, naman. So for me, I really just say a quick prayer.
Yeah.
If I feel like I'm anxious. It happens because at night when I'm just like lying down and I'm thinking about it, like, oh God, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, you get into that headspace. Yeah. So I say a prayer and then that usually kind of like calms me down. Other people meditate.
Right.
kind of like JC, like I think about it and then I'm like, okay, well, I can't do anything about it right now. So
just to add real quick, just a concrete thing that happened just a few days ago, or maybe just a few nights ago. It was, you know, my wife was having, for the 10th time, like I said, during this lockdown, having a few of those yes. symptoms. I'm not making light of it, right?
But it's very relatable.
She comes up, oh, I'm coughing. And, you know, I say, so what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the doctor? Do you want to, what are we going to do about it? I said, nothing. I'm just bringing it up. So for me, yeah. I choose to focus on something that I can act on.
Right.
And if I can't do something about it, if there's nothing actionable about it, for me, it's not worth thinking about.
Right. Yeah.
It's not worth the headspace.
Okay. That kind of wiring comes naturally to men. We women have to work at it. Mm-hmm. We have to be conscious about doing that because mm-hmm. our automatic response is really to be anxious and to panic.
True. But if you I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on.
No, I was like, if you don't teach yourself, you know, you're going to be like walking on eggshells all the time. So, you know, do yourself a favor and try to like, you know, fix that wiring in your head. Or just make sure it's not in your head space too long, you know?
Don't feed the thought. Okay. What is your advice to other mothers out there from your experience on how they can make the motherhood journey a little bit easier? I know it's not going to be easy, but even just slightly easier.
In general? Like, mom?
Like, from your experience, how have you made it easier for yourself? How have you made it more fun, lighter, calmer?
Okay.
What are your tips?
Because at first I was going to say, well, you know what? It's not easy at all. You know, that's why we're moms. It's not easy. Well, actually, no. That's not fair. Being a parent is not easy. Raising a child is not easy. I don't want to just put moms in there because dads do their own thing too. Okay. I think because I used to be very angry and stressed a lot, especially in the beginning of the business setting up Sweet Ecstasy, because I didn't know what I was doing and there was a lot of stress involved. And my partner Al said, why are you angry all the time? You're just angry. You're not, you know, you're not nice. You're not fun to be around. I said, oh. And at first I took offense. I'm like, hey, what? And then I did the Boya Bunda thing and looked myself in the mirror. And I said, well, yeah, you know, you're not fun to be around, Monica. and you are. I was angry. I was just so aggro, you know?
Yeah.
So a shift in perspective will help you a lot in dealing with things and dealing with challenges as a mom, as a parent. You have to try to always find the happy thing there, you know, because it's not always going to be great, but there's always that one thing to be grateful for. And if you just look at things differently and take a beat first before you rage out, it'll help a lot.
I like that.
Mm-mm.
We definitely need that. But it's a good thing you've always had the habit of being introspective. Not a lot of people are like that. Even from your youth, you were always always thinking back to, okay, how am I in this? How am I acting in this?
Yeah, but it's a practice. I mean, really. I mean, it didn't come overnight. It's just, you just have to, you also have to remind yourself, because I still fly off the handle. It's not like I don't, you know, but then you have to remind yourself, okay, wait, hold on. How am I going to view this situation differently? I actually learned that more on my business side, and then I did it to my family, and it worked well.
Well, you know, that's another thing that we learned with the interview, the last podcast with Big D. Whatever, in his case, everything that he applied to his work, he would also apply to his family and vice versa. Yeah. You know, JC and I brought it up earlier, the evaluation, creating that mission and vision, because he had that. He would sometimes ask his kids for feedback, like, how am I doing as a parent?
Wow, that's great.
I know.
A scary question to
it's
ask.
It's a scary and loaded question.
You have to be ready for the answer.
I like it though. I think that's a good question to ask. I'll ask that of my children today.
Last couple of things though, friend. I think, you know, you are doing a lot of things. I mean, in terms of diversity, you wear many hats. Like Jelly said, you're a business person. You're managing a business. You're running a home. You're doing things like this. You have a podcast that you're doing. What's your opinion on moms who choose to focus on one aspect of being a mother, which is staying at home, cooking, cleaning, taking care of their kids?
Yeah, that's already enough. I mean, if that's where you feel comfortable and that is your home base and that is your skill set and you're good at it, hey, that is a lot to do already. So all the moms who do that, yes, absolutely. My hat's off to you because it's hard. I'm only learning that now, you know?
Because I don't know if you'd agree, but that was the definition of what a mom ought to be before, way back, maybe not even one generation ago, maybe a couple of generations ago. And you're saying you're allowing for that. Yeah, definitely. You know, if that's your journey, then go ahead, right? So what really defines, because it seems to be flexible, what really defines a modern mom? What's a mom today like?
Ooh, what is a modern mom?
What's a modern mom, right?
Wow. Okay. Let's see. A modern mom is one who is doing what, they feel comfortable doing. They are also very kind of open-minded. A modern mom does not judge other moms.
That's a loaded statement.
There's
right
a lot
there
of that
too.
Going on. I hear
a modern mom is one that works really hard to take care of their household, to take care of their family, yet knows how to take care of themselves and gives themselves that time for their cocktail of choice or their book of choice or whatever,
or their workout.
Yeah, or their workout, maslalo, you know,
or their business. Their
business, you know, that is what a modern mom to me is. A modern mom is someone who is working very hard to keep everything together, yet is open for help and is open to, I'm talking to you, Jills. Is open to loving themselves and giving themselves a break. Because I've been there, like I felt that I had to take care of everything. And then I was, you know, reminded that I don't. So there's people to help you. And you just have to let that in. That's what a modern mom is.
And she's looking at my part of the screen again. I know where I'm located on your screen, Monica. You know, from your stories earlier, you said one of the reasons why you never lost track of you as an individual is because you always had your work. That was you being Monica. What is your advice, though, for stay-at-home moms who really made their life about their children and about the family and about their home? How can they still remain individuals and have their own thing when their world revolves around the family and the home and they don't have other work? Yeah.
Well,
how do they get to establish themselves as individuals?
I would suggest finding something that they like to do for themselves. It's hard, right, to just say that, but that is what you have to do. Individualism is like something that you're going to do that's you only. So find that thing, think about it. And then when you do find it, or even when you're trying to find it, because you can't find it right away, right? Let it be known to your family and to your partner, mas lalo, that, you know, you have to give me time to do this. Or maybe just simply put your foot down and say, okay, I'm gonna take some time for me. Because sometimes it's hard because you're so entrenched in all the mommy stuff and all the household stuff. And then you've been doing it for so long, so you forget. So you have to remind yourself and then remind others that you need this space. Claim it for yourself, you know? Don't shy and don't back down from it.
Kind of a bring yourself up on that priority list instead of being at the bottom and the one that always gets sidetracked. You have to bring it up several notches higher.
Yes, you have to remember to make yourself a priority also.
Okay.
You can't keep everything together if you're falling apart, right?
Oh, that's so hard, right? That's what bathrooms that's what bathrooms are for.
Right in the bathroom. So that's why you take so long. Okay.
JC, you just got an insight on the tricks of the trade for mamas.
So that's why you take so long. Okay. Yeah.
Monica, your main takeaway the main takeaway that you want the listeners to get out of this conversation about modern moms and busting the myth of a perfect mom.
Oh, well, I think we discussed all of that already. You know, you mommies out there, daddies out there, you're not perfect and it's okay. If the house is dirty, it's okay. You know, if you fail to make lunch on time, it's okay.
That is me the last couple of days.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's okay. You should be hard on yourself. Yes. But there's things that you just can't do everything at once. We don't have eight arms, you know. So, yeah, I think we talked about everything. Those are all the takeaways.
Okay. My main takeaways from our conversation with Monica is, one, definitely to have a good communication. Have great communication with your kids. Always have, you know, keep the lines open, create that safe space. So even though you let them go out there and spread their wings, they always know that they have you to come back to. And another thing is that motherhood is not a solo journey. Mm-hmm. You are surrounded by help. She emphasized that. Mm-hmm. She even pointed out that was something that I need. And I'm pretty sure a lot of mothers need as well. You know, there's help all around. We just need to accept it. We just need to allow it. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully that will make your motherhood journey a lot easier because you're getting help. What about you, JC? What's your takeaway?
You know what? I think I'm thinking about our kids. And I think at the end of the day, it really should be and is about them. I mean, the reason why we're putting all of this pressure on moms as a society is because of our concern for how their kids turn out. I think that's why. And, and you know, at the end of the day, it all that matters is your child a good person? Is your child kind? Is your child compassionate? And you're not going to get that by having, you know, floors that you can lick because they're so clean. You're not going to get that because lunch is served at exactly the same time each
on schedule.
Right. So you're not going to get that. And I think a big part of how you get that is you know, allowing them, like you said, the safe space to make mistakes so that they can come to you, so that they can learn, so that they can be their own people. And I think, you know, we talked a lot about letting go, and at the end of the day, and you said this at the very start of our talk, Fran, that you know, you model your kids will become what they see in you. Mm-hmm. So if you are so uptight, so strict with yourself, then they're not going to feel safe about approaching you, and then you have trouble down the road.
Thank you. Thank you very much to Monica Francesca for joining the Parenting Podcast today.
That was fun. Thank you for having me. Thanks, Jelly. Thanks, JC.
Thank you
so much for joining us. All right, you can catch more of her and her thoughts on the Eavesdrop Podcast. Thanks, Mon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Parenting Podcast.
Real parents facing modern problems together.
Brought to you by Wyeth Nutrition Parent Team and powered by Podcast Network Asia.
For updates on the show, please make sure to subscribe to the Parent Team Podcast on all podcast platforms.
Yep. And for more Wyeth Nutrition Parent Team content, visit www.wyethparentteam.com.ph.